to the last November edition of the PFF Forecast. That means it's getting time for some real football. We are officially, we have crossed the line. We are past Thanksgiving. This means the NFL season has finally begun. We're going to recap a little bit of what we saw this week by talking about the teams who are clearly not in it anymore and what they should do going forward. That includes the Broncos, the Packers with Jordan Love, the Raiders, maybe a few other teams that will sneak in there. We're going to talk to Ben Brown about that. And then, of course, we've got Guess the Lines for Week 13 with Arjun. Let's rock. Welcome in to everybody joining us live. We appreciate you, members of the printing press. Maybe you were at a game, a football game in New York today to see the Chicago Bears. And if so, you might have seen our good friend Brad there. Brad, you are, for anyone that does not know, you are a huge Chicago Bears fan. And so it is very fitting that you go to a game where Justin Fields does not play. But on the bright side, you did get to see the future of New York Jets football, which was Mike White. How was this experience?
There were multiple Mike White chants breaking out early in the first half of this game. I was in the bathroom at one point where the entire bathroom started chanting Mike White, and then they started chanting send Wilson to Carolina, which was equally funny. So Jets fans brought it. They brought the energy today. It was great. We had a good time. It was raining and obviously not a great football game, but I mean, the Mike White experience, man, I'm going to tell my grandkids about that one.
I don't know about you, Ben, but Jets minus 4.5 was one of the bets that I made in the Circa Millions contest. I then bet them minus 6.5. I felt as good about that bet as I think anyone has ever felt about a Mike White bet in the history of the universe. Did you get on that as well?
So I got on it really late. I got on it with like the Nathan Peterman news, basically from minus 6.5 up to minus 7. So I did not capture as much cleave as the rest of them. And I also unfortunately locked in my Circa Millionaire picks on Wednesday. And I was still like very much uncertain about the status of not only, you know, Justin Fields, but like what was kind of happening at the quarterback position for the New York Jets. So I actually didn't lock them in any of my entries in the Circa Millionaire contest, and I would say very much regretting that decision now heading out of week 12.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Okay, so we are going to focus on kind of one topic today. Last week we talked a little bit about the NFC and the three teams at the top there. We might get into that a little bit later and guess the lines, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to start with some teams that have, I guess, some decisions to be made. Going forward, they might be no longer in the playoff hunt, or as actually I kind of want to start off with, which are the Jets. Look, Brad, all I have to do is ask you, how much of a test are the Chicago Bears defensively?
Yeah, I think they on paper are now the worst defense in the NFL.
Okay. Right. So they're the worst defense in the NFL. Mike White goes out and plays well, but I want to remind people, anyone that has a short memory, like this is exactly what Mike White did last year. And Mike White, shout out to Robbie Greer, who is a great follow on Twitter, pointed this out, that Mike White started off the season last year with a 400-yard game. But by the time he was finished, actually averaged negative EPA per dropback. So it was a precipitous fall from there on out. I don't think anyone is under the illusion that Mike White is the future in New York. You have an opportunity. Like, I'll just start with you, Brad. Like, what should the Jets do going forward?
I think you still have to play him, though. I mean, look, it was raining today, so there is that bit of a caveat. He did not complete a pass that I saw beyond maybe 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. No, but there was just fundamental issues with Zach Wilson to where the Jets have built up the offense enough. Garrett Wilson, on his second touchdown of the game, caught the ball with 30 yards to the end zone and multiple guys closing in on him. It was just faster and a better athlete than everyone else on the field. Elijah Moore had his first touchdown of the season. Like, to a degree, like, yes, you want to see what you have in Zach. It's kind of a wasted season to not see what you have in Zach Wilson. But this team has a lot of talent around this quarterback position that if he can just be a – I'm not trying to throw a shot here, but a poor man's Garoppolo type situation. Like, they're at that level with their skill players, or at least that they were today against a bad Bears defense that was missing a lot of players, you know, on top of the fact that they're already bad to begin with.
I mean, a poor man's Garoppolo is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting, Ben, Chris Sims was talking about this, and Chris Sims said that Zach Wilson, you know, was the best quarterback in the draft class. So he's obviously protecting a little bit of that take here, but I don't think it makes sense. You know, I think he brings up some interesting points. And, you know, Zach Wilson faced the Patriots twice in the last, was it four games that he played some very good teams and was horrible. I mean, it was awful. Right. Did that change your mind at all? Are you seeing this Mike White performance and thinking like, oh, he might be the future? How would you play this?
I very much don't think he's the future. We can maybe figure that out, I would say, over the second half of the season. But kind of like you touched on, you know, and leading into this, it was like, you know, this was very reminiscent of the Bengals performance that he had when he had 405 yards. I think he had like a 4.2 average depth of target that game. Like Brad said, rain obviously played a pretty big factor in this one. But, you know, 58% of his yards came after the catch. You know, very heavily dependent, I would say, on the skill position players. And maybe he is, you know, in a position to kind of maximize some of that talent and kind of distribute the football like you guys say. But I don't think that when you're kind of building out this roster that Mike White is the starting quarterback that you want to kind of be focused on and be that guy in training camp in 2023. So even though he might get you to, you know, the quote unquote playoff promised land here for 2022, I would say they probably, you know, unless he really balls out in the second half of the season, which I'm not expecting, I think they very much have to be figuring out how they can upgrade at the quarterback position coming into next year.
Yeah. I don't think, like, I don't think there's anything that you can do right now. You can't go to Zach Wilson right now, but in my opinion, you have to go back to Zach Wilson at some point this year. Like, you have to. And the reason I think that you have to do that is you have to give him a chance to respond to this adversity and then see how he does and then cut bait at that point, right? To be able to go into next season kind of knowing what you're going to do from here. But here's the other thing is if you are looking, and they're a young team, do you want to bring in a veteran guy to go along with them? If so, you can do that. You're going to have to pay, you know, that veteran. You're going to have to pay some draft capital for it potentially. Aaron Rodgers, a guy that we're going to talk about probably here in a second, who may be on the block. But the more games that you win this year, I don't think anyone believes the Jets are winning the Super Bowl with Mike White, Joe Flacco, or anybody. So the more games that you win, you know, the worse your draft pick gets. And they have a really good nucleus around them. So either you keep that pick and use it to draft a quarterback, or you use it to get another quarterback that comes in. Let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. So I don't know, Brad, if there's any news on exactly what the injury was. It was said that it was an oblique strain. It looked like the ribs were in a tremendous amount of pain. Does not finish that game. Jordan Love comes in. Made some nice throws. Like, some legitimately nice throws. Christian Watson obviously did a amount of work on one of them. They kept the game kind of close. And ultimately pushed +7 from last Sunday. Brad, what are you doing if you're the Packers going forward?
I think I would want to see what Jordan Love has at this point. Rodgers obviously also dealing with the thumb that they were kept zooming in on the whole game. He made some nice throws too. The touchdown to Randall Cobb was an absolute dart over the middle. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is the offseason where you have to either exercise or decline a fifth-year option on Jordan Love, and you've basically never been able to see. I mean, yes, you're in practice. You're seeing that every single day. But you're going to have to make this $25, $28 million fully guaranteed decision. And, I mean, they'll probably just decline it at this point. But maybe if you get a 7-8-game stretch where you see how good he can be, you do give him that fifth-year option. You maybe trade one of the two quarterbacks if there's interest in either guy. I think it just opens up your options if you do let him get some runway, see him play. His teammates have said some very positive things in interviews and stuff like that, that in practice he looks like a starter, he's better than a lot of starters, stuff like that. Maybe they're just being nice to their teammate. But, I mean, you got to find out because the Packers are dead. And you know, Rodgers, who knows at this point what he's going to want to do this offseason. Build yourself some leverage just, you know, for negotiations, really.
What is so Jordan Love is now, this is his third year.
Yeah.
In the league. So I mean, you traded up, you invested a first round pick plus in Jordan Love. And I mean, you can't go into a situation, I think, with how good, I mean, this roster has some talented players. If you go into next season, and I just can't imagine Rodgers coming back. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, the young receivers are getting better, so maybe he can be enticed by, all right, Dobbs and Watson are the future, yada, yada. But I just don't either. And they're going to struggle to spend. They're going to, if they move on from a guy like David Bakhtiari, his best friend, like, how is that going to go over? Mm-hmm. The trade makes a lot of sense. Let some other team take it on. Worst case scenario, he's great and has a good end of his career. Best case scenario, it's a Russell Wilson 2.0. You got to explore it for sure.
Ben, what are you doing with Packers?
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, we've seen the same song and dance before, I would say, with both the Packers and maybe the Jets, right? And I think it goes back to, you know, the Brett Favre situation where they finally maybe saw, a young quarterback that they probably wanted to move on from the veteran guy with. And I think that there will be, I would say, a pretty robust trade market for Aaron Rodgers, still kind of on this, you know, down year that he has. Even if he doesn't play another snap in 2022, I think he's still going to command, I would say, pretty decent collateral in the trade market if the Packers want to move on from them. And I very much think that is going to be, the pertinent decision from them from a team building perspective. Like Brad touched on, it does seem like some of the young wide receivers are kind of starting to round into form a little bit. I do think defensively, you know, they're obviously not as good as they were at or where we kind of projected them to be at in the preseason, but they still kind of have a young nucleus, especially along the front four as well. It's going to be injured this year because it's very much going to be back next year. So I think they start Jordan Love, you know, for the next couple games and see what they have in the offseason trade market with Aaron Rodgers. And I think that that's only going to help them kind of, I would say, move on and actually kind of weather the storm a little bit better than what, you know, they're currently on track to kind of do. So I like the move to going to Jordan Love. And I also like them, you know, potentially trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason. I think that's probably the best case scenario for all parties involved at this point in time.
I mean, I doubt that the injury is season ending, but it should be. And I think this is the point that I would make. So there are two benefits you have to playing Jordan Love. The first is he's worse than Aaron Rodgers, so the chances that you lose more games are higher. But obviously, if he ends up being good, there are two things that you actually gain from that. So let's say that he shows flashes, and yet you still lose a bunch of games. So you have a better better draft capital, but you also now have two quarterbacks that you could trade. I mean, you know, the Jordan Love trade rumors were many. You may not. I think one of the lessons that should be taken away from not just the Packers, but the Rams, look at the Broncos, any of these teams that are paying quarterbacks a ton of money. The Vikings are another good example of this. And Brad, you've touched on this many times. Like, unless that's a top five guy, you're just not going to compete, right? There's just no way that you're going to compete. And the Packers with Rodgers, even as a top five guy, you know, failed a couple of times. Now, I think they'd take a couple of those teams from the past again and run it back and take their chances. But it doesn't seem like you're going to get that Aaron Rodgers going forward. He's obviously only getting older. So you trade him. You also have the potential to trade Love, or if you like him, you could keep him, which I think is interesting. It also is going to, I doubt Rodgers wants to sit on the bench the whole time. So it's going to cause a rift and like ultimately going to force a trade anyways. Brad, I'm curious, what, so let's say that happens, right? Okay. So Rodgers is angry. He like wants a trade. He's like, I want a trade. What does that trade market look like? And what would a team have to do? Like, how does that contract sort of work out if he gets traded?
Yeah. So you guys hear me first of all?
We got you.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, first and foremost, it'd be $40 million in dead cap for the Packers, and then a $58 million option for this upcoming 2023 season would travel with him to this new team. The date you can exercise it from basically the day the season ends to the day before week one next year is the option exercise window, which is very unorthodox and basically was a, hey, I might ask for a trade next offseason because I still don't really like you guys, so let's just leave that door open. Which is why I think, you know, speculation should be aplenty and should be real, because maybe he does want to go somewhere else. And look, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, even though coming up, you know, a down year for him, potential injuries, nothing really serious, I'm not taking less than the Russell Wilson compensation. I know he's 34, 35, or Rodgers is 39, 40 range, but you have him under contract for a three-year deal, and or I guess it would even be 4 years remaining total on this deal that travels, and he's the back-to-back MVP before this season. So, yeah, two first, 2 seconds, like I'm still asking for it. Maybe wow. I don't get it. I do wonder with such a reactionary league, like everything zigzags, goes back and forth. I think prices were high because the Rams saw success mm-hmm. with what they did. And now prices might go back the other way because all these big trades have kind of been duds, you know, this season.
Okay. So this is interesting. So obviously there's the LaFleur connection between the Jets and the Packers. So let me ask you this, Ben. So you heard what that trade compensation could be like. If you are the Jets, would you rather trade approximately that for Aaron Rodgers, or would you rather trade, and I don't know what it would cost right now for Jimmy G, who's playing better than Aaron Rodgers is this season, so I don't know if that means it's more. Brad, what would you say that the Jimmy G comp would be?
Well, they have to like franchise tag him or something. He's a pending free agent.
If they, oh, that's right. So if they were to tag him, though, let's assume they tag and trade. What do you think that would be?
I think you could get a first. That would be the best you could get. And okay. Even that might be a stretch. This past offseason didn't really pan out. I mean, they tried.
So let's say it's like a second. Ben, what would you rather do if you're the Jets? Would you rather go for Rodgers or Jimmy G?
I think the upside play is Aaron Rodgers. And I think when you're looking at the AFC landscape over the next couple seasons, like you're not going to get to a Super Bowl, I would say, with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, even if this roster, I would say, reaches its maximum potential outside of him, right? I think that it's very much like an expectation that Jimmy Garoppolo would have to somehow be better without Kyle Shanahan in that particular setting. And I just don't think that's a bet that I'd be willing to make. So I'd go with Rodgers. I know, you know, obviously his floor has been much worse than Jimmy Garoppolo has had this season, but I still think, given, you know, the bullish case with Aaron Rodgers, that's a chance that I would probably roll the dice on in that situation. So give me Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy Garoppolo, but I'm a notorious Garoppolo hater as well, George. I think we should maybe hear your stance on this matter as well.
Jimmy, we don't have enough time in this segment for me to opine on Jimmy G. As someone, let me just say this, as someone that had a considerable amount on the Saints +9.5 today. Jimmy G throwing an interception that got called back was just so perfect. It was so indicative of that. And the defense shutting out the Saints multiple times in the red zone so that Jimmy G could win by 13 after scoring 13 was truly impressive. Let's move on to the last team here, which Brad alluded to, and those are the Denver Broncos. They suck. They are really, really, really terrible. Just to give everyone a sense of how terrible the Denver Broncos are. The Denver Broncos, here are the teams, the only teams that are worse in EPA per dropback than the Denver Broncos. The Patriots, the Commanders, the Jets, the Rams, the Colts, the Steelers, the Texans, and the Panthers. That's it. Last I checked, none of those teams are paying their quarterback anywhere near as much. Only one of those teams, the Rams, has a quarterback that they even, you know, are actually paying for. And we all know kind of the story there. I'll start with you, Ben. What should, and let's go here from an ownership perspective, what should the owners of the Denver Broncos do?
I would very much start with moving on from Nathaniel Hackett. I know that's, you know, maybe not the situation that they're going to actually find themselves in, or not the situation they're going to play right now, but I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to be able to win in Denver. I know they've had, you know, 11 games or whatever, and that's a pretty short leash, but everything that we've seen from both an in-game decision-making to preparation to getting this offense on the same page, it just hasn't been there whatsoever. And I do think even the defensive success has been a lot of just carryover from the prior, from last season when Nathaniel Hackett wasn't even in the fold. So I think you move on from him. I don't think they have, you know, a ton of outs from the Russell Wilson situation, unfortunately. I know Brad can speak a lot better to that, more so than I can. But I think you start with step one, and that's moving on from Nathaniel Hackett. And then you either focus on a guy that can maybe maximize some of Russell Wilson's strength and maybe kind of get this thing at least a little bit back on the tracks. Or you try and find some outs with, you know, the Russell Wilson contract situation as well, which I don't know if there's any right now. But maybe there is based on, you know, some of the things that Brad's seen as well.
So yeah, I can jump in there. So it's pretty much you can't get out until 2025 at the earliest, and even in 2025, you'd have $50 million in dead cap. You're just basically taking the earliest exit humanly possible. Also, real quick, shout out to one of our listeners who pointed out Matthew Lavallee. Garoppolo has a no franchise tag clause, so you couldn't even franchise tag him. It's going to be George. You're going to lose him for nothing. It's going to be a sad day to watch Jimmy G walk to the New York Jets. That jawline belongs on Broadway. But anyway,
it really does.
Back to Russell Wilson, whose jawline belongs, in the XFL. You can't get out. Like, you really can't get out. So unlike you though, Ben, I think Nathaniel Hackett is fired by the time we're pouring our coffee tomorrow morning. I think we've gotten there. I think it's gotten that bad.
That's the only answer. And I actually don't know if here's the kind of crappy thing is Hackett may or may not be. I think it's hard to say with any sort of definitive stance that he's the problem. Right. But you have to find out, right? And what's the way to find out is to fire him and move on. It's I think probably the case that he is not the next Bill Belichick, right? I think there's a slim chance that you're firing a guy that becomes truly great. And so there's going to be a bunch of guys that are on the market next year that you can go grab, maybe someone that actually had some success with Russ. I don't know if they go get Brian Schottenheimer, and bring him in. That would be quite funny. But I think you do that. And then you've got to see, and what I would almost do is I would say, okay, Russ, like you drop, you're a veteran here. You're the head coach from an offensive perspective. You put together this offense. Let's go see what we can get it to look like through the rest of this year. And I think that's the only shot you've got is to kind of let him start making it in his image because you're pot committed to Brad's point. I just don't know what you could possibly do. Let's get out of here on this. One team that we're not talking about here is the Raiders. We've already talked about the fact that the Raiders can't afford to fire Josh McDaniels, and they won a game today against the aforementioned Seahawks. Josh Jacobs, 300-plus total yards. I have not cheated here, but Brad, apparently you have the list of guys that have amassed 300-plus in a game.
Yes, right? I wanted to check this out, see if you guys can guess a couple of them. So he's tied for eighth most yards in a game of all time. I won't say with who. All right, so there are four very recent players that are on this list of 11 total players to ever have 300 yards from scrimmage in a game. What are some guesses you guys got?
Jesus, this is going to be embarrassing.
All right, so I will go with the obvious one, but Adrian Peterson, 296 rushing yards. I think he had like a catch or something that game. So that one.
Yep. That was going to be my total fourth most ever. Good guess.
Right. The Minnesota Viking, I had to get that one.
Oh, yeah.
I also have to get the Julio one. Didn't Julio go for Julio went for like 300 or something,
yep,
right?
Good guess. 300 like... against the Carolina Panthers in 2016. Yep, good guess.
Okay.
The first one that I was going to guess was going to be the Adrian Peterson one. That's the one that I remember. So you said four of them are fairly recent.
Yep, so you got two of those. There are two others. One played as recently as last year, and one retired a couple years ago. He's now in the Hall of Fame, but he's definitely not, not too old. The rest are like some old dudes for the most part.
So is Calvin Johnson one of them?
Yep, bingo. He's third all-time with 329 against the Dallas Cowboys in an October game in 2013.
Yep, I remember that game. Is the other one Marshawn Lynch?
Nope, Marshawn's not on here.
I know the original one, I think, is like the Flipper, Flipper Anderson or something like that.
So I pulled this stat real quick. So he had a 10-year career and averaged over 20 yards a catch for his full 10-year career, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, he has the most ever, 336 in a game, which is just nuts, in 1989 against the Saints.
Wait, yeah. I don't know who the other one would be. I feel like it's got to be like a running back, though, not a wide receiver.
I'm looking at the chat here.
Chat definitely helped out. There's one receiver and one running back that are fairly recent.
That are still playing.
No, they're not still playing. Well, the receiver just played last year. The receiver physically could be playing today, I think. But I think he's pushed himself out of the league after a handful of antics, if you will.
Oh, Antonio Brown. when did he do it? I feel like I don't remember that game that he did it whatsoever.
300
like 2016?
2015 against the Raiders, against his Raiders.
Yeah, wow.
His beloved Raiders.
I don't remember that game.
The chat says LT, but I don't know that LT ever got
it's there. A running back in the same – that played in the same division as LT, but not LT.
So I'm going to go with – it's either Priest, Holmes.
Bingo.
Yeah.
No, bingo. Yep.
Priest Holmes, man, an OG. Alrighty, that is it for our first segment. Ben, good luck tomorrow. I hope that our Steelers are able to get +8.5. That is the last leg of our lock of the week. Hopefully it cashes for us. You can follow Ben on Twitter at @PFF_BenBrown. Read all of his great work on PFF.com and the PFF app. He is truly one of the best out there, so make sure that you are following him. Ben, have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to get to guessing the Week 13 lines. The Week 13 games, I've been down on the slates recently. This slate has some good ones. Before we get there, as I just mentioned, go download the new PFF app. Get all the great fantasy football and betting advice, plus access to all of PFF's betting and fantasy dashboards and tools. Recent breaking news from Brad and team also delivered right to you on the app. And on the app, you will get some free access to PFF grades and World Cup. That's right. Another kind of soccer, football. Those commercials, by the way, absolutely unbearable is the right word. On the PFF app as well. So go download that in the iOS App Store by searching PFF. Also, Brothrow, if you're in a place where you cannot bet legally, like California, for example, like me, unfortunately, Brothrow is a great alternative because it is not a sports book. However, you can still wager on games against other people. And that means you also don't have to pay the VIG. If you bet 10, you win 10. They don't have player props on there, which is the only downside, but you can bet spreads, totals, money lines. And here's the thing. If you want to bet like a different spread, you can throw it out there and put, you know, whatever odds you want on there and people can come and take it. So it's pretty awesome. Brothrow.com/PFF is the way that you can sign up. It's not open to the entire public yet. So that's the best way to get involved. DraftKings, if you are able to bet in a regulated state, then go to DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. They are a fantastic sports book and now offer you this opportunity with promo code PFF. Bet $5 on any NFL team to win the game and get $150 in free bets. It really helps, by the way, if you use promo code PFF when you sign up. So please go do that. They also give you stepped up same game parlay boosts. Because everyone, even if you are a hardcore degenerate bettor, I'm sure you're going to play some kind of same game parlay at some point. I do it. We all do it. And hopefully you're following Judah Fort Gang's same game parlays because he continues to rake. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, download it, use promo code PFF, and bet $5 any NFL team to win. Get $150 in free bets when they do, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for more details. And this is maybe a more somber topic, but if you are not living under a rock, you probably know that the economy, it's not super great, it might potentially be getting worse. So you should figure out how to be smart with your money, and Western Southern can help you do that. Western Southern Financial Group gives you the right game plan to make smart moves for yourself, because life doesn't stop even when there's a recession. So if you're looking to buy your first home, planning on starting a family, or you just want to be safe and have your money grow even through these tough times, go to Western Southern and check out the playbook that they have for you by going to westernsouthern.com/PFF. All right. It is time to guess the Week 13 lines. It was a little bit of a rough week for you last week, but you've had plenty of very, very good weeks. So it was due. Now, the person that is due to get absolutely hit by a bus is me, because if you remember last week, I said I was a little nervous about some of these spreads. I ended up betting 8 games early managed to go 5-3, although it could have certainly been worse. I went 3-0 on Thanksgiving, and two of those games, the Giants and the Vikings, should probably not have covered, although the Saints probably should have. So that brings me 28-16-2 on the year. Brad with a scintillating 4-1 this week, 22-18-2. Arjun, you are 19-16-3. A few bad beats for you, Arjun, but I'm sure you're ready to recover.
Yeah, no, I'm on full tilt today. I lost. I was so mad about the Bucks when that happened. I mean, I had a lot of that was like where a large portion of my bankroll was distributed. But you know, excited to be back on this week, and I know we'll probably bounce back.
Recover. We win and we lose as a team. So the nice thing is that overall, as a team, there were plenty of winners handed out, and you've carried us before. So let's get into it. The early slate, actually not the early slate, the Thursday night games: Buffalo, New England in New England. Arjun, we'll start with you.
So I made this Bills minus six.
I had New England plus 4.5.
All righty. I had New England plus six as well. And it is, it looks like it's 5.5 on FanDuel is what I'm seeing. Arjun, what are you going to do with this one?
I don't really feel comfortable betting the Bills in the spot. I think their defense did get a little bit exposed by the Lions. Now they'll kind of, they won't be on a short week because it's going to be a regular week for them. Same for the Patriots. I will say, like, I think the Patriots cornerback talent got exposed by Justin Jefferson, and Stephon Diggs is in that same category. But I do worry about Josh Allen's elbow, and like I feel like at times it did hamper him. So I just like I don't feel comfortable laying the points with the Bills this game.
Yeah, and I think we saw what we talked about with the Lions. You know, there was just an energy deficiency with both of them. I still go to another short week on a Thursday. I mean, the Vikings defense is bad. That's a good preface. But coming out of the bye, Mac Jones against a not great defense like the Jets was 9 of 13 for 220 yards. At 17 yards per attempt and 2 touchdowns on throws of 10-plus yards downfield. Before that, this year, he was 27 of 58 for 11 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown, 7 interceptions. So much better downfield accuracy, was throwing outside. You can move the ball against this Bills defense. We've seen it time and time again. The Lions missing both starting guards and honestly still bully them up front. And I think New England is a physical smash-mouth football team. That's kind of what Seth Galina was talking about a little bit. I don't know. I wouldn't lay with Buffalo. I'm not going to bet New England, but it's too many points, I think, for Buffalo to be laying on the road right now.
I'm really torn here because Arjun's point was the one that really stayed with me after watching that Minnesota game. I mean, Justin Jefferson lit them up. It was unlike I had seen wide receiver one really light them up in the past. But then you look back and you realize like this has kind of been the story for them this season. And so to me, it really comes down to, can New England score points in this game? But, you know, we saw them like actually kind of do that. Now, Minnesota is not very good. Let me ask you this, Brad, what is the thoughts on Rousseau? Is he supposed to be back?
It doesn't sound great. I'm not sure. And yeah, Von Miller is not going to be in this game. Yeah, that's for sure. So you might have both of them out potentially.
Yeah. So I, as much as I do want to bet Buffalo here and sort of fade the Giants game, the Lions game, by the way, where they were playing, you know, for the second straight week in Detroit. Detroit is a good offense. I'm going to lay off on this one. I might change my mind at the end of the podcast. I'm tempted. Green Bay, Chicago. So likely Jordan Love. I'm guessing no Justin Fields, but Brad, before we guess, what is your read?
I think he's healthy enough to play. They'll hold him out, but he definitely can play. He could have played today in theory.
Okay. Arjun, what do you make this?
Yeah, so before the Rodgers injury, I made it Packers minus five. And our power ratings tool has Rodgers as 5.5 points against the spread. So technically, I should be making this a pick'em, but I mean, Jordan Love looked good out there, and then the Bears are really, really banged up on defense, losing Eddie Jackson. So without Aaron Rodgers, I made this Packers minus three.
I have the Bears plus 3.5, and also Darnell Mooney is out for the year potentially, so him not playing in this game for Chicago will be massive as well.
Yeah, I said it. Interestingly, if Fields were to play in this game and Jordan Love was to play in this game, I think that the Bears, you could make a case for the Bears to be favored. But I will go with plus three. I don't see anything anywhere. I don't know if you guys do.
I see Packers minus 2.5 on FanDuel.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Anyone here want to bet that game?
It's just with the quarterback situation. Yeah, go ahead, Arjun.
I mean, I like the Packers in this spot because, you have to beat the Packers by running the ball. But the Bears, they average a negative EPA per play, EPA per rush on early downs. And I'm not that afraid of the Eagles' interior and offensive line with Sam Mustafa and, I forget the second round pick. Tevin Jenkins. Is he? He's still starting, right? So I'm not too worried about the Bears run game in this game. And Jordan Love looked fine. And I still think the Packers offensive arsenal trumps the Bears defensive group. So, I think they could take this game. And it's not like they haven't had success in Green Bay or in Chicago before.
You know, it's tough as an NFC North quarterback to throw for 6 yards and only score 10 points against the Jets. Oh, wait, that's not Trevor Siemian. That was Aaron Rodgers that did that. Trevor Siemian was balling today. I'm laying off because I don't know what the quarterback situation is for either team.
Yeah, if there's a chance that Justin Fields plays, what would you put those chances at, Brad?
I think over 50%. I'll say that. Yeah, it's more about like pain management, pain tolerance. I don't think there's actually.
By the way, that's ridiculous. Like he should not be playing in these games.
He shouldn't be playing at all. Teams we didn't talk about earlier because like they have quarterback figured out. But the Bears now have the second overall pick with the Raiders win today. With the Carolina Panthers win today. Now picking second overall.
Should not be playing him. I'm gonna lay off for that reason. But two bettable games, I think, right out of the gate. Pittsburgh and Atlanta. This one is in Atlanta. Arjun, what do you make this?
I made this Steelers plus +2.
I had Atlanta laying a full field goal.
I have Atlanta laying a full 2.5. And it looks like it is Atlanta by 1.5. I changed this last minute. I was about to say 3, but I went from 3 to 2.5. And it is, I'm seeing 1.5 at FanDuel. Arjun?
I kind of like the Falcons in this spot. I'm not gonna lie. Like they had some success on the ground this game, against a pretty stout Commanders defensive line. And I would say the Steelers are probably one tier down, even with TJ Watt back, from this Commanders defensive line. Falcons will be at home, and I'm not really scared of this Steelers offense at all. I think Falcons have kind of overperformed all year, and I kind of like that to continue in this game where I feel like they can just establish the run and just kind of live off of that and not have to use Marcus Mariota throwing the ball as much.
Yeah, I think I would go with Atlanta here as well.
Oh dear.
We're about to go to a little Atlanta social like the good old days. I just think the Steelers are not a good football team right now. The Falcons defense, they've had AJ Terrell back. Now he's in the fold. Yeah, I think they can generate a pass rush against a bad Steelers offensive line, maybe more than other offensive lines. I'm hopping on the Falcons as well.
I'm not going to change. I'm not going to be this guy and change whether I was going to bet on a game because two other people that I respect also decided to bet on it. I think this is a little short. I was debating between 2.5 and 3, and The Commanders are not a terrible team. So, Atlanta hung with them. I'm not coming off of that that game and feeling kind of down in the dumps here about that. So I will join you fellas on Atlanta. Although I will say this, I do not understand why they're not playing Ritter yet.
So it makes no sense.
Probably the most impressive performance of the entire day today was Trevor Lawrence. Really excited to see what his grade looks like. He made some crazy throws. That 4th and 5 throw where he just kind of wung it out there like mid drop back, ended up beating the Ravens. Basically all with his right arm was really super impressive. They play the Lions, who are also officially in the playoff hunt in Detroit. Arjun, where do you make this?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to be off market here, but I made this Jaguars minus 1.5.
Yeah, I might be off too. I have a pick 'em.
I made this Detroit by 2. And where is it here? I see Detroit by 1.5. Although it is minus 106 and Jaguars plus 1.5 is minus 114. Arjun, what do you do with this one?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't lie. Like, I love the Jaguars in this spot. So, Jaguars currently rank higher than the Lions in both offensive and defensive EPA. I think fundamentally they're the better team. And, you know, I spent Thanksgiving with our friend Tage Seth, and, you know, we were kind of watching that Lions game together. And one of the things we talked about after is, like, this is not really like an analytics thing, but when the Lions under Campbell have had these like emotional losses or emotional games, mm-hmm. they come out really flat the next game. So we look back to last year, they lose to Justin Tucker on that 63-yard field goal. Next week, they lose against the Bears by 10 and they don't cover. They lose to the Vikings they lose to the Vikings. Next week, they lose to the Bengals by 23. So they have these like type of emotional games. When they beat Kirk Cousins at home, you know, on that game-winning touchdown, they lose to the Broncos by 28 the next week. So in these emotional games, the next week they come out flat. Adding that onto the fact that Jacksonville fundamentally, statistically, is the better team, I really like the Jags in this spot.
Yeah, they are a better team. And I think the things holding them back were like red zone performance, which was just due for positive regression. I think we finally got that today, obviously, with the touchdown and the 2-point at the end of the game. And yeah, Lawrence looked really, really good. I think this was they were probably better than their record to begin with. They finally got to their bye week, and I think they sorted some things out on both sides of the ball, really, because they contained the Ravens to a degree. Foye Oluokun had 13 tackles in the first half. Like, I think they played to their strengths. All the things they invested in were where they were kind of funneling the action, and I think it's starting to work there in Jacksonville. So, I'll be teasing them with something. I'm not going to take them just by plus 1.5, but whatever else I like on the slate, we'll be teased with the Jaguars in the near future.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I'll put them down as a teaser option as well. Jacksonville, by the way, sneakily has been very, very good in certain areas. They've been one of the best at converting to a new set of downs on first and second down. Trevor Lawrence has been really good from a clean pocket. They've been terrible under pressure. So a lot of things that are kind of stable have been good for them. Jets, Vikings in Minnesota, assuming, of course, that Mike White gets another start here. Arjun?
So I made this Jets plus 3.5.
I have Minnesota minus 4.5.
I have Minnesota minus 4.5 as well, and it is, wow, it is Minnesota by 3. Now it is minus 112, so probably getting to 3.5, but interesting. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, no, I can't really bet this game because the Jets have one of the few corners who can actually slow down Justin Jefferson. They can get home with 4. I think they can just do all the things that can make Kirk Cousins kind of fold up. But Vikings do have, you know, a pretty good defensive line of themselves. And, I mean, it's not like Mike White had that tough of a opponent on defense today. So, I don't know. I don't really want to overreact too much to the Mike White stuff. And I feel like Vegas is doing that here, but – yeah, I'm not comfortable laying the point to the other side.
Mike White fever is real. I'm telling you. He had MetLife buzzing today. The people were really all about the Mike White experience. It's tough. I mean, I think this is one where we don't put them as official bets, but I said last week I love the total in Cardinals, Chargers, and would bet whatever it is. The total here is 42.5. I get why it's low because I think you could have concern of Kirk Cousins, you know, getting hit a lot by the, you know, this defensive line. Maybe no Christian Darrisaw on this game, but the Minnesota Vikings defense is bad. I mean, Mac Jones has been a bottom five graded quarterback, bottom five, like, adjusted net yards per attempt quarterback the entire season, and was moving the ball handily through the air in that game. Maybe I'm buying the Mike White fever, but over 42.5 is interesting, and I would lean towards the Jets. If Darrisaw can't go, I mean, this defense is a problem. And like you said, Sauce Gardner might be one of the few guys that can actually lock up a Justin Jefferson type player.
I think you should be allowed to bet the over if you want.
Okay, I'll save it for another one, but that's good to know.
I see no reason why you cannot. Bunny is green regardless. I will bet the Vikings here. Look, I love Sauce Gardner as much as the next guy. He was my favorite player in the draft, not just because of his name. The dude is incredible. But I'm going to go ahead and sell the Mike White experience in this situation. I think that, you know, it's one thing to play the Bears at home. It's another thing to play the Vikings on the road. And Garrett Wilson is amazing. And I think that's probably the big mismatch for the Jets is that Garrett Wilson, I think, is probably going to be uncoverable. I will take the Vikings here at home. Even though they're just 5-5 against spread, Jets 7-4 after covering today. Washington and the Giants, a NFC East battle. All four of those teams are in the playoffs right now. Arjun?
So I made this Commanders minus one.
Whoa. I have Giants minus 1.5. Huh.
Wow. Okay. I have Giants by 2.5. And this is surprising. So the Commanders are a 1.5-point favorite. Now, not crossing a key number of 3 here, but I still think indicative of where the market has these two teams. So Giants, a home underdog against Taylor Heineke and the Commanders. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, so I mean, I made this Commanders minus one because the Giants just are so beat up. They lost their number one guy, number one corner, number one receiver. We saw CeeDee Lamb kind of torch whoever was guarding him. And I've lost money in 2 straight weeks betting on Terry McLaurin, just, you know, failing me week after week. But I mean, this is like a smash spot for him against a pretty bad Giants secondary. I feel like the Commanders also have the advantage on the line where the Cowboys racked up 27 pressures on Thanksgiving. And now they go up against Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, and potentially Chase Young. So, you know, it could be a very tough game for the Giants in the trenches. I'm not going to lie, I kind of like them here, but I feel like there's some weird trend with like home dogs and like how they cover against the spread or straight up, right? So I honestly, I'm going to take them. I still like the Commanders in this spot.
Yeah, the Commies have treated us well. I think if you're leaning towards the Commies, you got to trust it right now. But I'm selling, I think, the Taylor Heineke experience, I suppose. I'm not going to bet the Giants. I think they're maybe an interesting teaser leg, you know, we just talked about with Jacksonville. But, yeah, I think I've been so high on Washington and so low on New York that almost like, I don't know. I'm surprised that the Commanders are laying points here on the road. I think it's a bit trappy, even with those injuries. You know, the Giants still move the ball fairly effectively against Dallas. Yes, obviously a lot of pressure, but they were able to do enough with Darius Slayton and whoever they had, Richie James and whoever that, you know, Chris Myrick and whoever they were targeting. So anyway, I would lean towards Giants teaser leg potentially, if anything here.
Yeah, that was kind of where my head went as well. So I think, you know, that this would be one where I might tease it with Jacksonville. We'll see where we get to at the end of this. Okay, Tennessee, Philly. This is one of the good games. There are a bunch of pretty interesting games here this week. Tennessee goes to Philadelphia. Arjun?
I made this Titans plus 4.
Ooh, I had Philly laying minus 6.
I had Philly by 6.5. And it is, if I can find it here, it is Eagles by 6. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, I think I know I'm way off market here, but I think I was just putting that number because, I mean, Eagles run defense hasn't been good. Derrick Henry, he didn't have that great of a game today, but Bengals run defense with DJ Reader, Sam Hubbard, and Hendrickson are all great. So, this could be a really good A.J. Brown revenge game. Eagles will be at home, but I don't know. The Eagles have not looked that great in recent weeks, so I think I'm just going to lay off here.
Yeah, this is another one where the total jumps out to me more than either side. I think that's the correct spread, obviously. It's my first, I think, bullseye of the day. So I see it the same way there, but 44.5 in the total. I think in particular, we talk to Judah about this every week, the first half over, it has not come out yet, at least I bet MGM, but the Titans are still so good on scripted plays, can score in the beginning of games, then can potentially fade. And this Eagles defense is just not very good. I mean, I think they're adding Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph and whoever else is available, for, you know, off the street because they realize they're just weak up front still. And I talked about in the podcast, you know, like over the middle, they're just very susceptible. They lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in this game tonight. Who knows how long he's out, but that would be a play there. Maybe his first half over once that drops. If it's what? If it's 44.5 for total game, what, 23, 22.5, whatever the case may be for the first half.
Yeah, you have the two first quarter juggernauts in the Titans and the Eagles. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Kind of in hindsight now, I feel as though I don't know. I sort of like the Titans in this. I didn't update this one after the game ended, the Eagles game, but I mean, I wasn't super impressed with everything that happened today against Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay is not a great team. I still think that the Vikings are a team, or sorry, that the Eagles are a team that plays close games. So I'm tempted to roll with the Titans here, but I'm going to pass. Broncos and Ravens in Baltimore. Arjun.
I went Broncos plus 7 in this game.
I had Ravens laying 8.
Right. I'm shorter than you guys. I had Ravens by 5.5, and I am way off here. It is Ravens by 7.5, and that is minus 115.
Yeah, so trending 8. Yeah, I mean, the Ravens haven't looked that good in recent weeks. I mean, they were in a dogfight with the Carolina, choked this game versus the Jags. I mean, the Ravens, for how good Lamar Jackson is with his legs, just can't convert in the red zone. I mean, Justin Tucker's hit 2 field goals in, like, the past, like, 8 games or something. So I think their struggles when it gets to the opposing side of the field, you know, kind of worry me, especially in this game where the Broncos, you know, have a pretty good defense. But I mean, I don't think you can bet Russell Wilson right now. It's just like, unless you're really, really confident about Edgar Everett's defense.
I mean, Edgar Everett's defense is great. And, you know, Baltimore, you said the offense is struggling. And it could, honestly, the bet here could be, are you getting closing line value on the fired coach bump? You know, is that the CLV you're looking for? But yeah, I mean, Denver, they now, congrats to them, they scored 1 touchdown today. So Jamal Williams has 13. The Denver Broncos have 14. They pulled ahead. So congrats to them on being ahead of Jamal Williams on the season. And Russell Wilson still trails, though, the amount of bathrooms in his house. He's still down 12-8 on the full season counter there. So yeah, maybe Baltimore with a teaser leg potentially, but I don't know. A lot of points for the Ravens to be laying right now.
So bad. This is the stinkiest of stinky bets. I mean, this is the absolute bottom. The Raven, I think, being overshadowed here by how bad the Broncos are is the fact that, like, the Ravens have not been overwhelmingly impressive this season. I mean, it just has. It's been kind of a weird Ravens season. I'm going to do it. I'm across the key number of 7. The total on this game is 38.5. So this is really, I mean, this is saying that the Broncos are as bad as they have been. I think Hackett gets fired, and I think they kind of play street ball in this game, and I think that's enough to keep it within a touchdown. So I am going to roll, I can't believe I'm saying this, with Mr. Limited himself, Russell Wilson and Broncos. My God, I can already feel what that's going to be, losing that bet. Cleveland-Houston, this is in Houston. This is Deshaun Watson's return. Is that correct?
Yep.
Wow. How wonderful that he's returning against Houston obviously a game that the team that he played for. I hope no one goes to this game. I hope people just like blackmail this game. Like they should just not even show this game on television. Arjun, what do you make the spread?
I made this Browns minus 7.
Yeah, I had Houston plus 8.
I have Houston plus 6.5, and it is 7, minus 112. Plus 7 is minus 112. Arjun?
I mean, we don't really know what Deshaun's going to look like. Yeah, Houston was really, really bad today. I honestly like the Browns as a teaser leg, tease them down to minus 1, so basically picking them to win, which, I mean, it's similar to like the Russell Wilson versus the Seahawks conundrum. If he can't beat his former team, then, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing here? So don't like them full game, like them as a teaser leg.
I'll be honest. I don't think the Houston Texans are trying to win football games right now. I think Nick Caserio is a guy who is, I don't know, smart enough to actually just full on tank and not be the Carolina Panthers, be insert name team here that should just be trying to lose football games. I think he's the only one that's actually doing it. Kyle Allen was atrocious today. And yeah, I took Miami Survivor. It was the easiest. They were up 27-0 in like the first 20 minutes of the game. I kind of there could be rust associated, but Cleveland's been a better team than their record the entire season. Amari Cooper's been balling, and Njoku's been balling. His catch touchdown today was incredible, the one-handed snag. I might even lay a full touchdown on the road, you know, with the Browns here.
Do you guys remember what Bill Cosby looked like when he played in that one preseason game? It was not pretty.
He wasn't good. Yeah.
It wasn't good. I am going with the Texans here. I don't think they're trying to put a competitive team on the football field, but I do think that the players that are on the football field want to win the game. I mean, there's not a lot, obviously, of kind of leftovers there in terms of players who, you know, there's no J.J. Watt, obviously, you know, who's going to kind of rally the sort of troops against them. But I just like the Cleveland Browns defense is not particularly great. This is a game where you're going to have Deshaun Watson coming back, but without – it's not like he's been practicing and throwing the ball to these players. So I'm going to roll with the Texans here. I now officially have money on the Broncos and the Texans, so this will be a great week. The afternoon games, there are two really good afternoon games. Let's get the kind of crappier ones out of the way first. Seattle and Los Angeles, the Rams in L.A. Arjun?
I made this Seahawks -6.
Same here.
I have the Seahawks by 5.5. And it is – where is it here? 4.5. Rams +4.5. Virgin.
I mean, I like them full game. I wonder if I should tease them and then make, you know, Seahawks and Browns my teaser, but I mean, I like the full game spread. The Rams, I don't even know who's playing on the roster anymore. Allen Robinson out for the year. Their defense was like just atrocious today. They're lucky that Kansas City was just not trying. We got Andrew instead of Andy, and the Chiefs had 6 drives of 9 or more plays, signaling they just sustained drives and didn't give a shit in the red zone. So I mean, I think Seahawks are going to be able to do whatever they want on offense. And I mean, there's really no talent to be worried about on the Rams offense. So, I mean, I'm just going to take the 4.5 straight up, I think.
Yeah. If anything, I would lean the same way. I'll just join you. I think people also overreacting to a loss to the Raiders, but the offense looked very good. Defense had a setback. You know, they played much better the last month before this game. Seattle's after starting the season off terribly, but the Rams' offense is just so bad, even with Matthew Stafford. And this offensive line will give up pressure to Chen and Wosu and some other players on Seattle. I'll ride with you on the 4.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to join you guys. There's no way this doesn't move out to 5.5, 6, I don't think. The Rams stink. I mean, they stink. And if you watch that Chiefs game, the score – so first off, the Chiefs did cover 15.5 or whatever mm-hmm. it was. And probably, to your point, Arjun, should have been way more than that. There's a red zone interception from Mahomes. And they really did look like they were just kind of cakewalking through this game. I totally agree with you. The only thing that would cause me a little bit of pause is McVay has always had success against – the Seahawks, but there's only so much you can do with these players. And McVay might be concussed. I mean, McVay.
I was going to say.
I'm sure everyone's seen that play, so I'm not going to rehash it. Chargers and the Raiders in Vegas. Arjun?
I made this Chargers -1.5.
I had Raiders +3.
I had Raiders by 1.5, and it is Raiders +2.5. Arjun?
Yeah. So the total in this game, 50.5, that's a lot. One thing I will do, I will be taking Josh Jacobs overs up to 110.5. This Chargers run defense was, my God, it was horrible to watch. They made James Conner look like rookie contract James Conner in this game. His first 100-yard game of the season, and Josh Jacobs just ran for 220 yards on the Seahawks defense. Now he'll be at home. I mean, I don't like in terms of the spread, I don't really have a great play on it because the Chargers offense looked good and they're playing a pretty trash Raiders defense. But I think Josh Jacobs is just going to run all over this Chargers defense.
Crazy thing was he was questionable, randomly popped up late in the week. I think it was an ankle, I want to say. And obviously it did not matter with his 303 scrimmage yards. But I see there, I'm not going to back the Chargers. I think obviously they won today. So people might jump back on the bandwagon, but they obviously could have very easily lose if they don't convert that 2-point. The over 50 and a half might be the play here because the Raiders, the defense, their coverage unit is just atrocious.
We talk about the right games to tease, and ones with high totals generally are not. But I actually think that both these teams want to play this to the under. You know, the Raiders are going to want to run the ball. That will help, you know, slow the game down if they have success, obviously. And the Chargers, despite the fact that Justin Herbert has an amazing arm, actually aren't, you know, that explosive of a team. So I really like that. I think the Raiders teasing them out to 8.5 is my, I think it's my favorite teaser leg. I'll probably pair that with Jags out to 7.5, I think is the one that I like most right now. Okay, two really good games. We have the Dolphins and the Niners and the Chiefs and the Bengals. Neither of these are on Sunday Night Football. People lose their minds. They go, why are we not flexing these teams into Sunday night? And the reason is because at the end of the day, the broadcast team or company, right, NBC in this situation, wants to have the most people watch their games that they possibly can. And the Dallas Cowboys single-handedly create ratings. And I don't know if you saw this, but on Thanksgiving, that Dallas Giants game was the most watched regular season game of all time. Dallas and Sunday night, as a team that is doing really well, is going to do numbers. And the Colts are kind of frisky with Jeff Saturday. It's kind of a storyline. So not that that really matters. It's more about the Cowboys. And the NBC is going to take the Cowboys on Sunday night every time. So that leaves Miami, San Francisco in the afternoon, late afternoon window. This is in San Fran. Arjun?
I went with Dolphins +3.
I had Niners laying a full 4.5.
I have Niners laying 4.5 as well. We're a little long. It is Niners by 3.5, Arjun.
Okay, so it's obviously like we have the revenge narratives and stuff, like McDaniel going against Shanahan. I think like, so the Dolphins to me haven't really played a good defense since the Jets, and even then that was with Teddy Bridgewater, or no, that was with Skylar Thompson, one of those two. The last time Tua's played a good defense was Buffalo, and he completed 13 passes for 18 attempts. So we haven't really seen Tua, you know, play in kind of like adverse conditions versus healthy, good defenses, which is what the Niners will be. I don't really know how this game is going to play out because McDaniel could pull out all the stops while Shanahan could just know his scheme, you know, back to front. So don't have a really strong lean here, but I'm very excited to watch this on TV.
Yeah, it's probably the game I'm most excited for this weekend. I think it's going to be electric. Like you said, we don't know yet the whole progression of like McVay always beats Kingsbury and then Shanahan always beats McVay and yada yada. Like, where does Mike McDaniel fall into that spectrum? I'm probably going to lay off, but I think this is going to be the game of the weekend.
So a couple of questions here. The first is Terron Armstead got hurt in this game, right?
I think he may have been pulled literally just because they were up by 27 points and they wanted to keep him healthy.
Yeah, that would make sense. So, I mean, the big issue here is, you know, Austin Jackson over there on the right side, PFF grade of just 56.8. However, been much better as a pass protector than as run blocker. And so if you look at that, like across the board, they actually do have some pretty good pass protection. But you'd have to be a little bit worried about Nick Bosa, third highest graded edge defender in the NFL. I really do want to bet the Niners here, but I am going to lay off just because of how explosive the receivers are for the Dolphins. And I think that is going to be a challenge. Even as good as that secondary has played, it's still going to be a challenge. You know, Ward has been really, really good, but Lenore on the other side, just a 59 PFF grade. Like, I think that there's going to be an opportunity for McDaniel to take some advantage there. So I'm going to lay off this one. I do agree. This is the game of the weekend. Kansas City, Cincinnati, revenge opportunity for Kansas City after the embarrassment that was last playoffs last year. What are you doing here, Arjun?
I feel like I got the spread bullseye. I made the Chiefs minus three.
Bengals plus 2.5.
I have Bengals by 3.5. And it is interesting. Okay, so it is Bengals plus 3 minus 118. So trending 2.5.
Yeah. Look, if it gets down to 2.5, I'm definitely taking the Chiefs. Like, I love the Chiefs in the spot. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have had the whole summer to kind of devise their game plan and fix whatever they need to fix to beat this Bengals team. I mean, if they go 0-3 in three straight games versus Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, then that, you know, just charge it to the game. But I feel like the Chiefs, they didn't try at all this week just because they were prepared for this week. Like, they're going to pull out all the stops. They didn't show any of their good plays. We're gonna hopefully get Andy in this game. And even if Ja'Marr Chase comes back, I mean, I hope Spags kind of, like, you know, I'm not supposed to coach my bets, but, you know, I think Spags has done a pretty solid job this year, kind of like working with like rookie corners and putting them in like favorable situations. So I like the Chiefs minus 3 in the spot, and I think it's going to be a very fun game also.
Yeah, so I would lean Chiefs as well. I mean, I think we talked about Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati, who's been phenomenal making halftime adjustments this season. Of course, most notably, he did it twice last year to the Chiefs. Obviously, that playoff game in particular. But no Chidobe Awuzie for them now. They don't have good corners. And Mahomes also is not going to be trying to target just Tyreek Hill. He's going to spread the ball around as he has. All their players are kind of contributing now. Sky Moore has been a consistent contributor now. Juju was back today, had a couple of nice catches. Who really knows about Tony? But nevertheless, I would lean towards Kansas City. Also, the over-under is 51.5 here. I think they're going to fly over that number because Kansas City can't really generate pressure. If Joe Burrow has time, he's going to find his guys downfield against this secondary, which, yeah, has some good young players, but is not anything special. Yeah, over 51.5 is probably my favorite as I first, you know, take a look at this.
Yeah, so I think that there's a chance this gets 2.5. I'll take the Chiefs here just right now anyways. I'm with you, Arjun, on all the things that you just said. I also, like, we got the Chiefs today, I feel like, already preparing for the Bengals. That was kind of the game plan that I saw. I saw the game plan against the Rams for the Chiefs today was we're just going to make sure that we're prepared for the Bengals because we need some retribution there. And they are going to be fired, super fired up for that game. Here's the other thing. The reason that the Chiefs kind of blew that game, in addition to not scoring any points in the second half, was that Ja'Marr Chase really just had his way with the Kansas City defensive backfield. Ja'Marr Chase was a late scratch in this game. I think that tells you that he, as great of an athlete as he is, even if he comes back for this game, which I'm assuming that he will, he is not going to be the same guy that toasted them last year. So I will roll with Kansas City by 3. Sunday night, Colts and Cowboys. Arjun.
So I made this Cowboys minus 9.
I got Dallas minus 8.5.
Wow. Okay. I have Dallas by 12.5. that tells you how I feel. It is 9.5. Arjun, you are only a half point off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bet this. The Cowboys had one of the worst backdoor covers for Cowboys bettors. You got, you know, George, obviously you won your bet based on that. Yeah. But, you know, I got to pour one out to our friend Judah, who had probably the most improbable same game parlay of all time. A sack parlay, including alt spreads, just never seen before. And I couldn't even tail it because I sent Dorrance Armstrong and Micah Parsons sack in our group chat and said, you better bet this before the lines move or gets taken out. And what do you know, by game time, the only prop you could bet was Micah Parsons to get over 0.25 sacks at minus 160, which you just don't lay that juice. So I'm not going to bet this game, but I thought, you know, the last Cowboys game was just an inopportune time for some Cowboys bettors.
Yeah, interesting spot here. I honestly think I like Indy. Kenny Moore, obviously a great slot corner, and obviously CeeDee Lamb, so the opposite of that this past week with Darnay Holmes and whoever the Giants threw at him. This Colts defense is for real. And also, I mean, you made a joke earlier, George. I mean, Jeff Saturday versus Mike McCarthy. I think McCarthy does a lot of things very well, but it's a battle of the wits there, and I think it could go either way. So 9.5 on Saturday Night Football. All right, you already bet two terrible teams. I'll bet the Colts to join the, you know, betting terrible team trend of the night.
All right. Well, I appreciate you doing that because I'm not going to go against you here. We win and we lose as a team. So I'll lay off. I think your point about the Colts is really good, right? That they are strong in terms of defending receivers. What that can do is keep the games close. Now, on the other side of that, I am wondering if Matt Ryan makes it out of this game alive. I think that is like a legitimate concern here, given what the Dallas Cowboys defense and defensive line are capable of doing. So I am going to pass on this game, but just mark my words when we're talking. When we're eulogizing Matt Ryan next week, remember that I told you this. Monday night, Saints, Bucks in Tampa.
I went Saints plus 5.
I got Bucks laying 4.5.
See, that's what I had originally. I had 5.5. And then I was like, wait, but the Saints always play the Bucks well. There's no way that the market forgets that. That's like one of the most like consistent narratives out there. And oh, by the way, like the Bucks have been super average this season so far. Now, then I still think that might have been what it was. The Saints came out here and got skunked by the Niners. It is Bucks by 5.5. And I had the Bucks by just 3. So a little off. But Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can bet either side. The Saints just couldn't score in the red zone. And the Bucks offense was just so disappointing today. I mean, I was expecting a lot against a pretty bad Cleveland defense. And I mean, they averaged a negative 0.03 EPA per play. Tom Brady averaged a negative EPA per pass. And like, he had pretty much his full arsenal of weapons healthy, you know, minus Leonard Fournette, if you consider him a weapon at this point. So I don't feel comfortable betting either side. And I mean, this might be one game where you go to sleep early.
I got Rashad White with 9 catches today. So that's who's catching the ball. It was a bad weather game. I said that was going to scare me and maybe make me not take Tampa, and I, of course, wrote it out. And they should have won the game with 4th and 9, touchdown to David Njoku to send it to overtime. But Antoine Winfield got hurt in this game. He's been a top-graded safety for us the entire year. He plays a ton in the slot, which I think is interesting against New Orleans in particular. Yeah, it seems like too many points. I don't know if I can bet the Colts and the Saints back-to-back, but it seems like too many points.
It is too many points. Here's the problem, Brad. The Saints are still rolling with Andy Dalton. If this was Jameis, taking the Saints.
Jameis revenge game against Tampa?
Every single day. And Dalton seemingly plays just well enough to like stick it out, you know? And they should have covered in this game. I mean, they had three turnovers in the red zone. It was just pathetic. It was really, really, really pathetic.
Dalton sack on 4th down was...
So I'm laying off simply because there's no way in hell that I'm ending my week 13 by watching Andy Dalton's dumbass on primetime. There's just no way. There are better things to do in life than that. So avoid that. I do think your point around Winfield, though, is something to watch there. And maybe, you know, a Chris Olave or a Jarvis Landry prop is something that can get you guys ready to go. All right. Once again, I've bet too many games. Arjun, you're coming back strong though. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bets and a teaser. So, redemption is spelled ARJUN. Arjun Menon 100 on Twitter, Brad Spielberger, PFF_Brad. And you can follow me for all of the great, takes that I have. My best tweet of the week was about Key and Peele. So there you go. That's the kind of content that you're going to get. Gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out. Members of the printing press, have a great week. Love you.